Welcome back to Battle Plan, a podcast focused on spiritual warfare. If you would like to learn more about Active Faith, you can find us at active-faith.org. We are always working to expel evil, reclaim the land, and heal the soul, all through the Word of God. I'm Dr. Charlie, and today I am here with special edition Battle Plan for Broken Families. And I'm very excited about my special guest today, Cassie Hutton. Cassie, thank you so much for being with us today and for blessing us with your knowledge and your faith story.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be on here. You've been on my podcast before and shared
I
a lot
know.
of what your books and your message, and so I'm excited to do the swap here today.
Absolutely, absolutely. So Cassie is a women's health coach, and she helps exhausting Christian women recover from burnout and hormone imbalance and chronic stress. Now, if you're a man, don't tune out because she has some extremely valuable things to say that are not about that. She's been running, she did run, I'm sorry, for years on adrenaline and under eating and overgiving and silencing her own needs. But then she rebuilt her health by correcting mineral depletion and stabilizing blood sugar and regulating her own nervous system, which I think is fascinating. Now she has 90-day rooted and restored wellness program. And she helps women restore and study their energy and repair their cycles and rebalance stress hormones and stop abandoning themselves in the name of being good. She is also the author, as if that wasn't enough, she's also the author of Finding Freedom. And we're gonna talk more about a big event that she has coming up at the end of the podcast. But Cassie, wow, you always amaze me. Like, I hear you doing things and I see you on social media, and I'm like, if I could rewind my life, because I feel like I'm like way the big sister here, but I've got several more years on you. But I would so rewind and think, okay, I want to be just a little bit more like Cassie. I think she's doing some things really well. So, I just commend you
Well, thank you.
today. So, but today we're going to take a little bit different approach because we're talking about Battle Plan for Broken Families. And in Battle Plan for Broken Families, we really focus on getting through a broken family situation and how we deal with that and how we come out as believers, still looking like believers, still acting like believers. And sometimes that's the miracle in itself. It's
Yeah,
like,
you're
oh,
right.
Jesus, but I'm not sure I'm acting like him. At least that's been my story. So I would like for you to just briefly share, because everybody has their unique things. And what you and I have talked, and today we're going to talk about when you're broken, but you're still together. So, can you tell me what that means for you?
Yeah, it means a lot. There's like so many different ways I could think about that. But in one sense, it does mean you really do still come together for family things, but there's still some brokenness there, right? There's still some things that maybe are unresolved, or maybe you've just come to terms with things never being the same again.
Right.
But then there's also the part where it's like we walked through deep brokenness, and then there's been true healing, and there really has been restoration, not just in extended family, but also between my husband and I. We walked through this thing together, and we were broken together, and we were always each other's best friend and confidant, and the one that each other could lean on, but we also had to walk our own path of healing through it. We healed in different ways. We were wounded in different ways, even though we were a part of the same story and the same family conflict. But it also, and it's a product of all the things that we are going to talk about today, is the product of why my health went bad and why I now do what I do. And
Right.
so it's all connected. And in all of this, my husband and I really learned that there were so many things that were really disrupting our marriage through all of it. We really had to learn to communicate again. I learned to use my voice again in areas where I was really maybe intimidated to talk to him about certain things. I learned to use my voice.
So you have how many children?
We have five.
Right. I
And
knew
then
that.
we have an adopted son
Right.
that we're going to get into that story today.
Right. So how long have you been married?
We have been married. Oh my gosh, you're going to ask me that. We've been married, oh my gosh, 11 or 12 years. We got married in
Okay.
2012. So whatever
Okay.
that is.
Okay. All right. All right. That would be 11.
Okay.
12. No, that would be 12. Okay. The reason I'm asking is because did you know when you got married that you were broken?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely not.
Okay. So you entered into brokenness blind to the brokenness.
Absolutely.
I think that's important because I just don't think people realize that we're all broken in some ways.
Yeah, and my person, and I wasn't saved. I didn't know Jesus. My husband grew up in a, very, I say religious home, but he grew up, Christian, knowing Jesus.
Faith centered. Yeah. So how did your brokenness begin to appear?
Yeah, so we had been married a couple of years, maybe only 2 years, and we already had two kids. And so that's when I got saved, and the Lord really saved me from years of torment and trauma from an abortion I had chosen, and just radically set me free from that. That was something that really, truly caused me lots and lots of heartache and despair and darkness and lots of crying at night, lots of, PTSD type symptoms from that abortion. And so that was my first big awakening of like, oh wow, I was way, I was definitely, I was literally a bleeding wound walking around from this. And, I had simply learned to kind of cover it up, but I like to use the analogy of a proud flesh wound in horses, that in horses, their flesh, if you don't actually, if it's a deep wound, if you don't actually like make the wound bleed, and like we call it hydroing it, so spraying water on it to the point that it actually makes the wound bleed, then it will heal from the outside in instead of the inside out. And so it'll look like it's healed, but then it actually stays festered under the skin and will cause a lot more problems. And so, that's like what had happened. In my case, I had gotten a whole lot better. I didn't have near as many PTSD type symptoms, or, I didn't have to sleep with the lights on anymore necessarily at night. I didn't have the nightmares anymore, but I was still very, very much hurt and wounded from
Yeah.
that abortion.
Yeah. So when you talk about brokenness, I know that you and your sweet husband were both broken and you worked through that, but you had contributing factors from the outside.
Yeah.
And those continued, did they continue the same way they'd always been, or did they get worse after you became a believer?
Yeah, so they kind of got better and then they got worse.
Okay.
So, it's funny because so I became a believer, and it was like I just wanted to be at church all the time, around believers all the time. I wanted to be involved in everything. And my husband, having grown up in the church, he's like, I don't want anything to do with that. And so we were like two, it was very conflicting. But I was just so excited and on fire for the Lord. I just put my head down, and many times it was like I literally was reading because I was staying at home at this point, and my husband would come home and I'd still be re reading the Bible for the day. Dinner's not ready, things are not necessarily chaos in the home, but like mainly dinner is not ready. And then he'd be like, oh my goodness, get up and do something, and so we were living in two separate worlds, although in the same home, and both loved Jesus, but we were not on the same faith level. We weren't on the same path as far as how we were pursuing Jesus. And then there were And we can get into the story, I guess, with the adoption and things like that. But that was a conflicting thing in our home. It was just a very hard situation. Adoption in and of itself is very hard. So our adopted son is my second cousin. His mom was murdered, and we took him in and officially adopted him. And so he lived with us for 5 years, and this just became a very hard situation where my husband would be gone until 9 o'clock at night, and he'd be home but gone, like checked out, like couldn't deal with it, didn't want to come inside. And I would keep everyone awake and make sure we didn't eat dinner until he came inside. So you can imagine a 1, 2, and 3 year old, and then for 5 years, they're that close together. They were only, I think they were only 18 months apart total. And so that was very hard. On top of just all the changes that happened so quickly, we were still only 2 years into our marriage. We already had 3 kids, had adopted one. I mean, it was like a lot. And then him not coming into the home to really help me with those afternoon chores and getting them baths and helping me with dinner and putting dinner away and cleaning up the kitchen, that just really, really wore on me. But as a Christian, and you want to be I hate to say this word, but like the submissive wife, I didn't necessarily have submissive wife in the back of my head that I was trying to envision or try to be this submissive wife, and I had the wrong picture of her, but I was more so just trying to do what I thought the Bible said to do as a wife. And oh, I just see it over and over again now in the work that I do. It's detrimental to a lot of women that we're not truly being taught what it is to be a strong Christian woman. And so that just led to me silencing myself a lot just to keep the peace, just to make everybody happy. And it was like I was really living actually in a fantasy world. I wasn't really facing reality of how hard things were. I wasn't really facing reality of how checked out we all were. And so one day it hit me like a ton of bricks. We can't keep doing this. It really was an instantaneous moment where it was like I flipped from one point of view to the next, where I was like, no, this is ruining everybody. This isn't healthy for anyone. And this is not what God has envisioned for us. Not for our kids. We can't be the mother and father that we want to be to our kids. Our kids don't know us as the true mother and father that we want to be. And this is just not good. And so I went to my husband and told him, this is not working. We have to do something different. And he said, yeah, I know. We can't keep doing this. And so from there, it spiraled out of control.
Yeah. So do you ever feel like sometimes it really has to spiral in order for you to get back to where you can have a handle on things?
Oh, probably just because hindsight's 2020, and you learn. And there are some people, and I'm one of them, and I have one of my sons is this way. Like, we have to learn by experience. Someone can tell me over and over, but it's like I just don't get it until I finally walked that path, and it's like, oh, now I understand what you were trying to say.
So let's talk about the extended family, because I see this a lot. There is extreme strain in a marriage and in your nuclear family because of things that happen in your extended family. And I guarantee you there's going to be somebody watching this that can not only relate to everything you just said about marriage and the conflicts and the way you're missing what you're supposed to get and all of that, but you had these extraneous factors as well. Can you talk about those?
Yeah. And you're talking about after we made the decision.
Yeah, so do you want to talk about that decision?
Yeah, so
Okay.
did I touch on, because I had a friend someone recently who briefly had heard our story, and she said, I thought that y'all went out and like adopted this child and then decided that you couldn't take the child in. And when she learned the full story of what had happened, she's like, oh my goodness, this is quite a bit different than what the picture that had
Yeah,
been
I don't
painted
know the
for
full
me. So
story.
the Lord used this in my life completely in my salvation testimony, but I had a cousin that was shot and murdered, and so her son is the one that we adopted. I think I did say that whenever I was telling you. Okay. And so that's when we took him in. And so he was family. And so it was one of those things where I called my aunt and I was like, this is just hard. We really need to talk. And so at that point, just some things transpired that another family member called me, and I was so emotional. I spent 3 weeks in bed before I talked to anybody, trying to process it myself of like, what is going on? What's going to be said? What are people going to think about me? I'm a ter This is terrible. Like, is this, can I truly do this? Is this biblical? Like, is it biblical, God? Like, what? I don't want to disappoint you, but I absolutely know. I mean, I knew that I knew that I knew. And anyways, whenever we started to, I shared with someone who then I asked them, I just wasn't thinking at the time that it would go outside of the immediate family, but it quickly did. And I was like, okay, so then before I had even gained my traction of breaking the news to certain family members and people, it had gotten outside of our control. And so that's when we learned that certain family members had already called other family members, and like all of this talk was already going on, and people had already made their assumptions, and people had already kind of painted a picture of us as bad people, and all the things that in my head I already knew were coming, but I didn't think that they were going to come from immediate family members. And so
Yeah.
that's what really hit hard, was like, okay, these are people that I love and that I was hoping would walk this journey with me,
They would
not
be a
turn on
support
me.
system.
Absolutely. And so
Yeah.
that was the absolute hardest part, was that my husband and I truly felt alone, even though we were together in this, because even our pastors at the time, we reached out to them. They even came to our home and we were like, hey, this is what's going on. And they couldn't hear what we were actually saying. There was a story told to us, like, yeah, we had a friend that was, they had an adopted son, and it was hard. Basically, we were told by numerous people that we sought counsel from, no, this is just the point where you push through. This is the point where, right, like this is your point of like the fruit of the spirit of perseverance showing up. And it was like, no, you don't understand. We have persevered. We weren't looking for you to try to convince us that we need to move forward with the adoption. We need help in how do we now navigate the decision we've already made. But we weren't being heard on that because I think people were so shocked. And it was like they couldn't even grasp what we were trying to say. And so we were again left alone in that regard. And then because of some actions that some family members had taken on my husband's side, to reach out to my side of the family, I couldn't. There were moments where I wanted to. I didn't know how I was going. Like, I've been this child's mother for 5 years. How do I not be his mother now? How do I show up to? And this is still really hard because it's still something that walking out. How do I show up to family events? What's that going to look like? How is he going to feel? I've made every single decision for him for the last 5 years, and now nothing. How do I, that was the hardest part. How do I
Right. It
navigate
wasn't
that?
that you didn't love him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I mean, you saw, I mean, just like a mother sees the potential in their children, I knew every potential that he carried. I knew every gift that he had. I knew
Yeah.
what he loved and what he hated. I knew everything about him. And so it is confusing. A lot of people ask us, the question is, well, was he a bad ch was he bad? You hear a lot of adoption stories of children who come to you with
Yeah.
terrible, terrible family situations, and they do, acting out is negative attention is better than no attention, or
Right.
that's the way they're coping with things. And people are look at me very confused when I say, no, he's great. He's wonderful. He loves to please people. And it's like you can't understand until you've walked it.
Right. And
Yeah.
there will be people even that hear this podcast and they're not going to fully understand, and this is obviously very tender. So during that time, was there a scripture or scriptures or a Bible story that you were able to lean into? Because I understand that I've been in positions not exactly like yours, but where I was making decisions people didn't understand and they didn't support, but I knew I was at peace and I knew they were the right decisions. So what carried you?
So two things. One, I think this was in the 3 weeks before we reached out to anyone, and I was trying to process everything and going like, please God, make this make sense in my mind. And I had these coasters that were like written in French, and so they didn't say the name Sarai on them specifically, but it was very close to Sarai. So Sarai and Abram. And as soon as it jumped out at me that way, I was like, oh my gosh, this did happen in the Bible. Abraham gave up Ishmael, his very own son. And Sarah treated him with contempt. And it was like, okay, I'm not a bad person. God still called her. What does Sarah mean? Mother to all nations, I think, something like that. And here, this was her child, right? That was the point, was that Ishmael was supposed to be their child together. And this is the way she felt towards him, although it was after Isaac was born. But it was the fact that we have feelings. We are human, and it's okay to acknowledge these feelings. And that was a huge thing that I walked through, was like, okay, it's time to start acknowledging a lot of feelings that you have stuffed and stuffed and stuffed and been taught to stuff since childhood. So that was a whole lot of darkness to begin to walk through, after all of this too, was the breaking open of all of that. And so that story definitely was like, okay, you want something in the
Yeah.
Bible to be like, I need something to let
Yes.
me know I'm not crazy. So that was one of them. And then the other one was I had no other prayer to pray. I literally had no other prayer to pray except, God, your will be done. And
Yeah. You remember that song many years ago, Mandisa's a Broken Hallelujah?
yeah.
Man, yeah. It's hard. It's the there's very raw emotions and raw feelings, and sometimes there are no words for the prayers. There are none.
Yeah.
So, do you think that you and your husband shared the same emotions about the situation, or do you think that his path was a little different?
Definitely his path was different, but we did share a lot of the same emotions. I think we definitely shared a lot of the same hurt. I think our hurt came from different people in the family dynamics of how everything played out. But I remember him, this actually wasn't long ago. It was only a year, maybe a year ago. That he we've we have learned a lot about the difference between men and women and the way that we think and, all the
Yeah.
things. The feminine energy versus the masculine energy and the way that God created us, like, and trying to own these things, like learning the difference between it and then owning that these things. And so, anyways, he said something. He came home one day. I think he had listened to a podcast or he had just heard something, and he came home and he was like, I'm so tired of this. Basically, some more family conflict had just kind of come up. And he's like, I'm just so tired of this. He said, I was listening to something today and it's really true. He said, men don't hold on to bitterness. That's just, he kind of was like, I think because I was so hurt, he was trying to stay there with me. And then he
Oh.
was kind of like, you know what? No, I'm not bitter. Men don't hold on to bitterness. That's kind of how he said it, or how I remember him saying it. And I needed to hear him say that. There was something about it that I can't say what it was, but it really was. I could feel in the days after him saying that, there was so much that we let go of together.
Okay.
And it was like we both moved forward. Hey, no, take that to the boys. I'm sorry.
No, you have kids. It's
But
okay.
it's like we both did. We were both able to move forward. I think we came to a place where it was okay to not be okay. We were both came to terms with being okay with not resolving conflict between certain people. We were okay with never hearing an I'm sorry from certain people. We were okay with not having a relationship with those people. And honestly, I move forward now and go, I'm thankful for not having a relationship with those people, if that makes some sense too.
Yeah. So what I know, I have been to those extended family type situations when the conflict is just the elephant in the room. And you're trying hard to just press through to honor the person whose event it is, or the birthday it is, or the holiday that it is, or whatever. But where does your faith pull in there? Are you just there because you're just trusting, or is there a scripture that makes you feel like you need to be there? Where's the balance? Because I know you, and I know that you try to live by the word, and so I know that's your compass in all of this. But if somebody's hearing this and they have extreme family conflict, and every time there's a potential that the family's gonna be together, where do you press into? How do you coach yourself through the word?
So first of all, you got to give yourself permission to not be there. I mean, that's one of the first things. You've got to give yourself permission to not be there, to be okay with not being there, and to be okay with whatever plays out. Because that's truly, now we're going to get into like the health and wellness space, the scene that
Right.
I'm in now. Because number one, there's a couple different layers there to me. Number one, are you trying to keep the peace? Is it really biblical if you're lying to yourself about your own feelings? So that comes first and foremost, I think, because when you're number one lying to yourself about your own feelings and trying to just be there just because you want to make sure that for the other people that haven't hurt you, right? Or for the event that's happening and to keep it going, if it's actually sending you into a more of a trauma response, because I would get around these people, because I did, I tried that for longer than I care to admit. But for all those years, I would go into those situations and have a trauma response. Like I would be shaking. I would have total anxiety. I couldn't focus on anything. I went back to the conversations in my head. I went back to all the unhealthy things, right? And so,
Yeah.
yeah, we're talking about healthy balance there. We're talking about your actual physical health, because that's when your cortisol levels spike. That's when you are in that fight or flight response. That's when you're burning through tons of nutrients in your body because your body doesn't know the difference between running from a bear or being in the situation you're in. And so this is when lots of things begin to happen and your body just feels like it's an emergency situation and it wants to get out. And so this is where basically you're kind of being re-traumatized every time you step back into those situations. And so that's obviously not something we know a loving father isn't asking you to re-traumatize yourself by putting yourself back around these people. Because when you re-traumatize yourself, it's just going to take you that much longer to heal. And so that was the first thing that I finally had to do. And I had to even, send out, there had been a group message created with everyone's name in it. And so every time I would see that person's name pop up or there was something where I had to give details about my life. Like I felt I had already been violated by these people. They had inserted themselves into my life where they had never been before. But now you want to be a part of our lives in our most broken time, and you're beating us down during our most broken time. Like, I don't want you to know anything about my life anymore. And so when I felt like I had to give details in this group message about things going on in our life, even if it was something as simple as like, yes, I'll be there or no, I won't, I didn't want certain things being known. And so that was another, a place of violation, if you will. And so I finally had to come to a point where I was like, hey, can y'all please just remove me out of the group? It's just not healthy for me to be in here anymore. Unfortunately, this was like 2 years later. So to them, in their eyes, it was just me trying to keep things going. But it was finally me just learning that I've really got to take some drastic steps here if I truly ever want to heal. No, I'm almost done. Okay.
But cover off the doors and now we can't get in.
What doors?
Your the car doors.
Where were we at? And so, whenever I took those a little bit more drastic measure, yeah, it would seem like to the outside that we were just beating a dead horse or trying to keep things going. But for us, it really was taking us that long to heal. And so healing happens for everyone differently. Everyone handles situations differently. Clearly, looking back now, the way that I handled the situation, was it right? Was it wrong? I don't know. I didn't know what to do with the situation. Was I way more, I react much more emotionally than a lot of people do. I don't know why, but, is it a central nervous system link to where I've been dysregulated all of my life? And so when trauma does happen, it just sends me like way overboard. I don't know. But I don't think everyone would have been as emotional as I was, although it was a very emotional situation. I don't know that everyone would have acted in a way that was like post-traumatic.
So, did everything center around this adoption issue, or was there other family situations that just it just all started to get enmeshed together?
Yo, you're so right about that. Like, this one situation is what revealed so many other situations that have been ongoing for so long. And coming to reality of it, both of my husband and I both walking through like, oh my goodness, this happened in the past or that happened in the past. And without getting like too much detail or like, pointing at certain things. And so it was like we had to be there for each other of walking through. I mean, it was deep stuff. It went way back to childhood, of things that we were like, okay, that was wrong and we're dealing with that and we're admitting that it shouldn't have been handled that way or that this is the way this is what happened then and this is one of the reasons we react this way now. Went far beyond, yeah, just the adoption, yeah.
So I think it's interesting. There's that old cliche, broken, hurt people hurt people. Whereas when you're trying to heal, sometimes people don't see it as you trying to heal. They respond out of their hurt and they just take it as more hurt. And that's what you just described.
Exactly.
And they can't filter because they're not attempting to heal. They don't have a premise for or a filter for looking at something objectively and saying, okay, well, they're trying to heal and maybe I shouldn't pursue my train of thought about this situation. So what's interesting, I'm curious, what percentage now are any of your family members that are involved in this, are they believers? Are you and your husbands the only ones?
No. The majority of them are believers, yeah.
Yeah. So how do you reconcile that in your heart? Because we want to believe that once we have Jesus, there's no more conflict, there's no more struggle.
Yeah.
And that's just not true. Because
Yeah.
people are human and they still have a soul, they still have their mind, their will, and their emotions. And so, how do you reconcile that in your day-to-day walk?
Yeah. Now, I guess because we've received so much healing, it just is what it is now. But at the time, it was like, okay, because the Bible was definitely weaponized against us. That was one of the those were definitely some of the most hurtful things, because it's like by no means did we ever want to feel like, I mean, believe me, I questioned it. Like, God, is this unbiblical what we're doing? And so for people to use the Bible against you, I even had some pastors come to me and basically warned me that I was getting off into kind of basically wokeness, not necessarily because of the adoption, but because of like some things I had shared on Facebook, because I was hurt and I was sharing something that I didn't call anybody out or anything. But I remember it was absurd. I was holding a baby in literally 100 degree weather, and she was screaming and crying, and we were standing on black asphalt, and we were sitting there listening to them. My husband had to stop him and say, like, what are you saying? What are you talking about? Like, you're coming at my wife, accusing her of all these things. Like, we're just hurt. We're trying to walk through this and navigate this. We're not getting off on, but it was funny because it wasn't even that they were addressing the adoption. It was just some underlying things that, like, we were being seen as this all of a sudden. And so, it was hard. It was just you had to constantly, you could tell your mind, but your heart had a hard time understanding it, right? I'm sure many of your listeners listening have been there, where it's like, you know in your mind, but your heart hasn't grasped it yet. And so it
Yeah.
was this constant telling myself, okay, number one, they just don't understand. Number two, it's definitely a Pharisee spirit, right? I mean, to weaponize the Bible against anyone ever. I don't care if you agree or disagree, but especially if you've never walked in their shoes, you cannot just throw scripture at someone and expect that to take root, expect it to be okay. It just doesn't work that way, you know? And then secondly, if you don't have a true, really deep relationship with someone, you don't really have the authority to speak into someone's life.
So one of the interesting things I'm listening to you tell how you've navigated this, and you and your husband have, even though you've admitted that you were processing things a little bit differently at times, or maybe all the time, but yet you're still together. You've made it through together. And I commend you for that, but I'd love for you to speak into that for a minute, because conflict that's that deep and that painful, you do not always find that a husband and wife remain in unity and in support of each other. So how did you do that?
Yeah, I wish I had a good, I wish I could really tell you how we did that. I think for me, I can't speak for him, but in my mind, I've made my mind up. Like, he's the only one for me. And did there come some like afterwards? Now I'll say this, during that time in particular, we did lean on each other. We did grow. Maybe there was some trauma bonding going on between us, but God used it for his good.
Okay.
Because I mean, really and truly, for months on end, it was this is what our conversations consisted of. Because it's all my mind could think about. My mind did not get away from it for over a year. And so that was very hard to, I mean, those were the blinders. I mean, it was very, very hard to get out of that. But when my health plummeted a couple of years later, then that's when our real battle began as far as actually staying together and working through true marital conflict, because a lot of things came up from those 5 years that our son was with us. A lot of things came up. A lot of things came up for me. And in fact, I didn't realize even what I was experiencing was actually physical health symptoms. I just thought I was extremely angry at my husband. I was just trying to figure out, I was just grasping for answers, of like, what is going on with me? And then I remember telling my friend, I was like, I think I'm just super mad at my husband.
And what was
So,
it really?
well, it was a lot. It was the being in the fight or flight, my central nervous system like totally overwhelmed, my whole immune system overwhelmed. I started having irregular cycles, severe severe PMDD, so PMS on crack, and so experiencing that every 2 weeks. So I mean, I was just seriously an
Oh.
emotional roller coaster,
Yeah.
and so that was hard because he didn't know how to be there for me during that time, and I didn't have the capacity to communicate. I didn't have the energetic capacity to get through the day. And so that's where, and that's when I really started to realize, okay, you've not spoken up for yourself in your marriage. You've not spoke your peace in your marriage. You've not gotten what you needed in your marriage. And so this is our time to
Work on
really
that.
work through these things, and this is really your opportunity, because like God has given me a voice, and I know that here we are speaking, like I speak, and I know that God's given me a voice. But there's, when it comes to relationships, sometimes it feels more important to keep the peace than to speak your peace, but that just will wreck your health even more.
Yeah. I want you to talk for a minute about you've mentioned bitterness. So let's talk about unforgiveness and bitterness, because they can wreck you. And you've obviously had to let go. You talked about how you and Galen let go, but then you've also had to probably keep forgiving again and again. And so can you talk about that for a minute? Because there's going to be listeners who are like, I forgave them once, but do I have to keep doing it again and again? And we know that the Bible says 70 times seven. And that is true, but what does that really look like walking out, at walking it out?
That's definitely the hardest part. And it was really hard for me because going back to my salvation testimony, the man that murdered my cousin was also our adopted son's father. And so when I met Jesus and he said, because I've forgiven you, you must forgive him. And so this forgiveness thing I understood really well. Jesus was saying, you have murdered a child and I forgive you for that. He murdered your family member, someone that you loved, and you must forgive him. And so, I understood for this like drastic forgiveness that happened instantaneously. But here I was, like grasping for straws, like, God, you said to forgive. I understand the importance of forgiving, but like, this isn't happening instantaneously the way that it did before. And so I understood the importance of it. Again, the head and the heart disagreeing. I know your word says to forgive, Lord. I know that you work miracles. Why isn't the miracle coming? I've done all that I can do. I've heard, so you, I hear this, I had heard this so many times. People walking out their forgiveness story, and they would say, I began to pray for them, and their heart would be tendered towards, whoever had hurt them, or they were maybe a victim to these people. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna pray for these people that have hurt me. And I mean, I remember walking circles and like just praying and blessing and,
Yeah, you don't mean like, Lord, please let them trip on a rock and hit their head. Like, it's not that kind of prayer. So
Right.
if you're listening, that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like I would pray God's heart. I would pray the Bible over them. I would pray
Yeah.
blessings over them. But that didn't necessarily work either, because we don't always just say, there's just not an ABC format that you can follow, even as bad as we want it to. And so I remember I was I took my birthday money. So this had happened in like the adoption thing had happened in like an a April or May of 2020. And so this was February of 2021. I took my birthday money that I got from my mom, and I hired a counselor, and I was like, okay, I'm not getting through this on my own. I need some help. This is still very much affecting my everyday life. And so I remember at one point her I lost my train of thought of what I was fixing to say about that. But I went to see a counselor, and that began to help me. I could tell her my story. I wasn't talking to a family member that had heard it over and over again. I wasn't talking to my husband, who had heard it over and over again, because that was another thing I had started to tell myself, like, oh, and now I can't talk about it because they've heard it so many times, they're tired of talking about it, all the things, right? So anyways, at some point, I remember feeling like I had to have something to pull out of my back pocket. That's what I told myself. I have to have something to pull out of my back pocket to start interrupting this thought process that constantly plays out in my mind of just intrusive thoughts of having the conversation over again in my head, trying to win the
Right.
argument again in my head. And so,
Ruminating.
sorry.
Ruminating.
Yes, exactly. And so, I literally would visualize taking this thing out of my pocket that said, forgive, repent, release. Forgive them. Lord, I forgive, put their name in, whoever you're having that conversation with in your head, whatever memory you're remembering. I repent for picking this up again. I repent for whatever. And then I release the situation. I release the people over to you. And I can't tell you how many times I had to do that. It's the 70 times 70. But that
Right.
was one way of interrupting the intrusive thoughts. So this is the central nervous system. Like, we're retraining the central nervous system with one of these tools by pulling this thing out of my back pocket. So I didn't have to think about it, right? It was just something that I literally just put on autopilot, because my brain was so overloaded and overwhelmed that I couldn't think of one more thing for the day, on top of that having little kids at home and all the things. And so that was kind of like just one of my first tools that I began to put
Right.
in my tool belt.
That's good. That's good. That's interesting. Well,
Yeah.
thank you for sharing that. Wow. I can't believe we've even been talking a whole hour already, but it's been so good. And I appreciate your sincerity and your authenticity that, you not only made hard decisions and stuck by them, but now you've been willing to talk about them. And I'm confident that even though we all live unique lives and we have unique circumstances, I'm confident that listeners are going to be able to hear what you've had to say and trust that God can walk through it with them. Now, you have an event, a workshop coming up soon. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I would love to invite all of your listeners to come and sign up for the Burnout Recovery Live Workshop happening on March 23rd. It's going live at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. But of course, if you can't make it that day or you can't make it at that time, just sign up anyways, because there will always be a replay. And so, in in the work that I do, I don't just focus on the physical body because you just heard my full story of healing from all this trauma, right? And so when we're talking about healing from burnout, whatever your burnout can look like, irregular hormones, it can look like autoimmune diseases, it can look like just basic stress and anxiety. It can look like lots of different things. So when I use the word burnout, recovery, I don't want it to feel like it's this boxed in thing of just moms who are overwhelmed. But we're going to, in the workshop, put together a real recovery plan for you, specialized to you, where we also look at how can we calm the central nervous system. And so we look, the work that I do always encompasses something to do with healing from trauma, stress, anxiety, beginning to use your voice again. That's going to also be coupled into now, how can we support your physical body? Because the two go hand in hand. You really cannot separate the two. And that's what I learned on my journey whenever I hit complete burnout and had all these physical symptoms going on. It was like, okay, I can't just read these Bible verses over and over again because it's really not calming my anxiety. And it was okay to admit that my body actually needed something extra. God gave us food to heal the body. And so we're also made from the dust. And so my work focuses a lot on minerals. And those minerals actually convert into a lot of the hormone imbalances that we're experiencing and other things that we're experiencing in the body. So I would love for y'all to join me. You can go to the show notes. We're going to drop the link in the show
Right.
notes
Yeah,
for
I'm going
all
to
of your
definitely put
listeners
those
to
in the
sign
show
up. Yeah.
notes. That's really good. That's really good. Thank you, Cassie. Thank you so much for your time. Before we leave, I would love for you to just pray over the listeners and anybody who may be going through something similar to what you've been through, and just close us out that way.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd be honored to. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for this podcast and what Active Faith is doing, and that we get to share our stories. There's so much healing that happens when we get to share our stories and our voice is allowed to be heard. And so, God, I just thank you for everyone who's listening under my voice who feels like they have just been shut down, misunderstood, that injustices have come their way. God, I pray that you would shed light on those things and on those places, and that you would begin to reveal the truth of every situation. And God, I also pray over those hard situations where people are facing right now, where they say, this doesn't feel biblical. It doesn't feel like it's something that you would actually approve of, Lord, and there's confusion setting in. God, I just pray over that confusion and that you would speak clarity in that, and that those under my voice would say, no, it's time to admit the truth of how I feel. A lot of times we're told in the church to separate our feelings from the truth, and there is some truth in that, but also we have to remember that God did give us feelings for a reason, and that as women especially, we are intuitive, God. And so I pray that that intuition that has been shut down and the true knowing that so many women and men have had that have been shut down, or they've been told that they're wrong, God, that you would just ignite that in them again, that it would be stronger than ever, and that they would know that they would know that they would know that it is your voice speaking, and that they can listen to it, and that you are saying, this is the way, this is the path, and follow it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cassie. Thank you again for joining us for Battle Plan for Broken Families. We will see you next time.